The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Today on Ring of Truth with Pastor Dan Sexton.
God says, I'm going to meet with you at my mercy seat, at the place of mercy, at the place of atonement. Not in the ark. We don't meet with God in the Ten Commandments, but at the place of mercy. God says he will meet with them at the place of mercy and speak to them from the mercy seat. Again, it's a picture of Jesus Christ. Because of his sacrifice on the cross, now we can come boldly to his throne of grace and receive what? Mercy.
As much as we tend to look at the Old Testament as bloody and judgmental, God displayed his mercy and grace in ways that are often overlooked. While there were times where he carried out judgment on wicked men, he is a just God after all. He also showed kindness and patience repeatedly, as he worked with Israel and their inclination to rebel. As Pastor Dan will point out in today's message, even in the structure of his tabernacle, God points to his merciful, forgiving nature, not his judgment. Now here's Pastor Dan in the book of Exodus, chapter 25, for today's edition of Ring of Truth.
Moses must be careful to follow the blueprints precisely because he is building a copy of what is in heaven. Now, this is another good reason why we should study the tabernacle in depth, because one day, if you've trusted Jesus Christ for salvation, you will be in heaven and you will see the true tabernacle of God that's not made with hands, that's in heaven. And you don't want to sound like some hillbilly up there saying, "What in the world is this thing?" Right? And so the Israelites will build the tabernacle according to the pattern Moses receives from the Lord. And then the glory of God, listen, the glory of God will dwell in the tabernacle. God blesses what is done according to his word. God blesses what is done according to his word. And that's true for an individual Christian. It's true for a church. God will bless and fill a church with his presence when the church does things according to his word. And so now, beginning in verse 10, the Lord gives instructions for the construction of the furniture for the tabernacle. Please note that. God doesn't begin with giving instructions for the tent or for the building as we would today. He begins with the furniture that's going to go in the building, that's going to go in the tabernacle. And he begins with the Ark of the Covenant. As we read through the description in the book of Exodus, God begins with the Ark of the Covenant. He begins with where he dwells. We would begin where we dwell, outside the tabernacle, and work our way towards the Holy of Holies. God dwells in the Holy of Holies. And so he begins with the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies, and he's going to describe the tabernacle from the Ark of the Covenant, from the Holy of Holies, outward towards the gate. He's moving our direction in this description. He starts where he's dwelling, and he's moving towards man. That's a picture of grace. That's a picture of grace. He begins where he dwells, and he moves towards man. And unless God comes to us, we would have no access to God. Man cannot approach God because God is holy and we are sinful, and our sin separates us from God, the Bible says. So God must come to man if we are going to have a relationship with him, because there's no way we can come to God. He has to condescend down to our level. It's impossible for man to ascend up to his level. And we see that here in verse 10 now. And they shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. And so here we have the Ark of the Covenant here. The Ark of the Covenant is mentioned 185 times in the Old Testament. And you may know it from the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark. Maybe that's your only exposure to it. And we're told here the measurements of the ark, it's a box, and it's measured in cubits. A cubit, now, if you hold your hand up like this, a cubit is the distance from the tip of your tallest finger to your elbow. That's a cubit. And so a cubit was about 18 inches. Obviously, if you're taller, you're going to have a longer measurement there. If you're shorter, you're going to have a shorter measurement. But it was roughly 18 inches. And again, the ark is a box. It's approximately 3.75 feet long, 2.25 feet wide, and 1.5 feet high. And it's made of acacia wood from acacia trees. Acacia trees were plentiful in the wilderness. There's still many of them there today. It's the only building material around. There's not a lot of choices in the desert. So acacia trees were really their only available resource of wood to use. So that's what they use. Verse 11, and you shall overlay it with pure gold inside and out. You shall overlay it, and you shall make on it a molding of gold all around. So the ark was made of both. Please note this, it's made of both acacia wood and gold. Now, acacia wood is a very, very durable wood. The ancient Egyptians built ships out of acacia wood. Acacia wood doesn't rot, it doesn't decay, it's incorruptible. Acacia wood speaks of the humanity of Jesus Christ, the humanity of Jesus Christ. Like acacia wood, Jesus was incorruptible. He was without sin. He was perfect in all of his ways. The gold of the ark speaks of his deity, speaks of his deity. Gold is the metal of deity in the Bible. And as we're going to see, there's gold on the inside of the tabernacle. There's bronze on the outside out in the courtyard, like with the altar and the laver. Bronze is the metal of judgment. It's on the altar that your sin is dealt with. Your sin is judged by a sacrifice. So there's bronze on the outside, but there's gold on the inside. And gold is the metal of deity in the Bible. And so we see here the ark was made of wood and covered inside and out with gold. And it's a picture of the humanity and the deity of Jesus Christ. He was both man and God. He was the God-man. He was fully God. He was fully man. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4, if you're taking notes, Hebrews 9:4 tells us the ark was not empty. The ark contained three things. It contained the tablets of the covenant that Moses receives. It contained a jar of manna, and it contained Aaron's rod. And all three items point beautifully to Jesus Christ. Remember, I told you the tabernacle is all about Jesus Christ. The tablets of the covenant remind us that Jesus came to fulfill the law. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. The manna reminds us that Jesus is what? The bread of life. The bread of life. John chapter 6, he's the true bread from heaven. And Aaron's rod reminds us that Jesus is our great high priest, our great high priest. If you remember the story in Numbers chapters 16 and 17, when Aaron's leadership as high priest, it was challenged. And if you remember in the story, if not, you can go back and read it, Numbers 16 and 17, Aaron's rod budded and blossomed, proving that he was the rightful high priest. His dead rod came back to life, proving Aaron was God's choice to be the high priest of Israel. And like Aaron's rod that came back to life, Jesus was resurrected from the dead, proving he is God's high priest. He is God's chosen high priest. Look at the end of verse 11 again. The end of verse 11. The end of the verse, it says, and you shall make on it a molding of gold all around. If you have the old King James, it says a crown of gold all around it. And so this Ark of the Covenant, which is a picture of Jesus Christ, it has a crown on it. Jesus Christ will return to the earth as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to rule over all the earth. And it tells us in the book of Revelation that he will be crowned with many crowns when he comes. And it says that we will cast our crowns at his feet. And so the Ark of the Covenant, which is a picture of Jesus Christ, it has a crown on it. Verse 12, you shall cast four rings of gold for it and put them in its four corners. Two rings shall be on one side and two rings on the other side. Verse 13, and you shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. You shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark, that the ark may be carried by them. The poles shall be in the rings of the ark, and they shall not be taken from it. And you shall put into the ark the testimony which I will give you, the tablets that he's going to receive from God. And so now they're to make four rings of gold on the corners of the ark where these poles would be installed to carry the ark. And the purpose of the rings then, of course, are to keep the ark steady and evenly balanced as the priests carry it. Remember, this whole thing's portable because they're in the wilderness, so they can take it with them everywhere they go. And so they have these poles now to carry the ark and to keep the ark balanced on their shoulders by these poles while they're carrying it. So the four rings, they speak to us of the balanced presentation of Jesus Christ that is found in the four Gospels. The four Gospels present Jesus Christ to us, just as the Ark of the Covenant was a picture of Jesus Christ, and it is carried by these four rings. Jesus is presented to us in the four Gospels. And when you take the four Gospels together, you get this balanced presentation of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Matthew, of course, presents Jesus as the King of the Jews. Mark presents him as a servant. Luke presents Jesus as the perfect man. John presents Jesus as the Son of God.
You're listening to Ring of Truth with Pastor Dan Sexton of Calvary Chapel, Ellicott City, Maryland. We'll return to the second half of today's message in a moment. But first, here's a word from Pastor Dan.
It's my privilege to share the Word of God with you through our radio ministry, Ring of Truth. Thank you for tuning in each day. Hey, I would love to hear from you. Will you take a moment to email me to tell me how these daily studies have ministered to you? I want to hear your story. You can email me through our website at calvaryec.com. That's calvaryec.com.
Thanks, Pastor Dan. Now let's join him again for the conclusion of today's edition of Ring of Truth.
And just like the four rings that kept the ark perfectly balanced, the four Gospels give us a perfectly balanced picture of Jesus Christ. And now we come to verse 17, and I promise we're almost finished. We're not going to go through the whole chapter tonight. Verse 17. In verse 17, we have a description of the lid that went on the Ark of the Covenant, and this lid is known as the mercy seat. Look at verse 17. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width. You shall make two cherubim of gold of hammered work. You shall make them at the two ends of the mercy seat. So this is the lid that goes on top. There's two cherubim on top of the ark. They're to be made of hammered gold. That means they're made from one solid piece of gold. You're not going to weld gold pieces together to make these two cherubim. Verse 19 says, make one cherubim at one end and the other cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherubim at the two ends of it of one piece with the mercy seat. And the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and they shall face one another. The face of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat. So they're looking inward, and they have, as you see in the picture, they're looking inward, they have their wings covering the mercy seat, and their wings are touching in the middle, and they're looking down. Do you notice then how they're looking down at the mercy seat? And it says that in verse 20, their faces shall be toward the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, verse 21. And in the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you, and there at the mercy seat I will meet with you. There I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. By the way, the mercy seat is the only seat in the tabernacle, and it's not even really a seat. But this is the only seat. There's no place to sit down in the tabernacle. The name mercy seat, it literally means the place of atonement, or the place of atonement, or the place of propitiation. The place of propitiation. I know that's a big Bible word, but that's what it means. This is the place, and this is important, please listen. This is the place where God's wrath against sin will be satisfied by the blood of a substitutionary sacrifice. The mercy seat is where the blood is applied to atone for the sins of the nation. On the Day of Atonement, one day of the year, the high priest was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies, and he would take the blood of a sacrifice, a substitutionary sacrifice, with him, and he would apply the blood to the mercy seat, to that area that the two cherubim are looking down upon. He would apply the blood there to the mercy seat, to the place of atonement, the place of propitiation, to atone for the sins of the nation, and God would give the nation mercy. That's why it's called the mercy seat. Mercy is not giving you what you deserve. Mercy is not giving you what you deserve. Justice is giving you what you deserve. Justice is giving you what you deserve. You don't want justice when it comes to God. You don't want God to give you what you deserve. You want God to give you mercy, to not give you what you deserve. And so God, knowing that man is sinful, knowing that man will fall short, God has made a provision here in the tabernacle. Because God really wants to have this relationship, he really wants to dwell among them, but he knows they're sinful, he's holy, so he's got to make a provision for their sin, and he makes this provision in the mercy seat. So now there's a place where they can bring the blood of a substitutionary sacrifice, and they can apply the blood at that mercy seat, and God will give them mercy for their sins at the mercy seat. That blood will atone for their sins. That blood will be a propitiation. It will satisfy God's wrath against sin when the blood is applied. Now, if you're taking notes, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 19 to 20, you may remember the story. If you were on the Israel trip, we went to Beth Shemesh. And in Beth Shemesh, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, the Philistines had captured the ark. They return it back to Israel. It comes back to Beth Shemesh. The ark comes back, the people cheer and celebrate, they make a sacrifice, they're worshiping, but then they decide out of curiosity to look inside the ark, and they take the lid off the ark to see the tablets of the covenant and to see the jar of manna and to see Aaron's rod. They were curious, just like you and I would be curious, and they took the lid off, and God struck down 50,000 of them in that moment. And killed them. Why? They removed the mercy seat. They removed the place of mercy. And now all they have is the law. And the law kills. Right? So they have removed the place of God's mercy to look inside the ark. They removed the place where their sin was atoned for. They removed the mercy seat. And so they were struck down. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus is our mercy seat. Jesus is our mercy seat. The blood of Jesus Christ that he shed for you on the cross of Calvary, it atones for your sin. Jesus is our propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation is the New Testament equivalent of mercy seat. In fact, some English translations, instead of saying propitiation in the New Testament, they say mercy seat. In the New Testament, the word means the same thing. It's the place where God's wrath against sin is satisfied, the propitiation, the mercy seat. Jesus is our propitiation. He's our mercy seat. I'll just read a couple verses to you as we're wrapping up here. 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. And he himself, speaking of Jesus, he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not ours only, but also for the whole world. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. He's the mercy seat. He's where we find mercy from God. Not justice, not what we deserve, but what we don't deserve. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. Jesus is where we find mercy from God. Jesus is where we find forgiveness from God. God has made a provision, just like he made a provision in the tabernacle with the mercy seat. He's made a provision for us in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross and the applying of his blood to our sins that cleanses us from all of our sins. Now notice what it says here in chapter 25, verse 19. You guys with me? All right, verse 19. Look what it says. Make one cherub. We still have our picture up there. Great. Make one cherub at one end and the other cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherubim at the two ends of it of one piece with the mercy seat. And the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And they shall face one another. The faces of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat. So they have their wings stretched out over the mercy seat. They're looking down upon the mercy seat. And you can see the picture, the imagery of it. Now, turn with me over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. It's like sword fights. Who can get there first? John chapter 20. This is the morning of the resurrection. When Mary Magdalene, Mary from Magdala, comes to the tomb. She's the first one to come to the tomb and see the empty tomb. John chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and she looked into the tomb. Listen to this description. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. She sees two angels in the tomb, one's at the head, one's at the feet. Now, were they in this position? I don't know. But it sure sounds like a description of the mercy seat, doesn't it? And no doubt some of the blood of Jesus Christ was on that stone where they laid his body between the two angels, one sitting at the head, one sitting at the foot. He's the mercy seat. He's where we come to find mercy from God. He's where we come to find forgiveness from God. Now, go back to chapter 25 of Exodus. Look again at verse 22. God says it. And there at the mercy seat, that's where I'll meet with you. And that's where I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. God says, I'm going to meet with you at my mercy seat, at the place of mercy, at the place of atonement. Not in the ark. We don't meet with God in the Ten Commandments, but at the place of mercy. God says he will meet with them at the place of mercy and speak to them from the mercy seat. Again, it's a picture of Jesus Christ. Because of his sacrifice on the cross, now we can come boldly to his throne of grace and receive what? Mercy, right? In our time of need.
He asked me how I know, and I say it rings truer than the finest crystal.
Did you know that Ring of Truth is a listener-supported ministry aimed to bring you God's Word wherever you're at? Whether you're at home or on the road, we're here to help you grow in your faith. You love to stay connected through social media? Find us on Facebook. Listen to us on iTunes and our podcast. There are numerous other ways to stay up to date with what's happening at Ring of Truth. All you have to do is go to calvaryec.com to get started. Our mission and vision and what we believe can be found on our website as well. In case you didn't catch that website, it's calvaryec.com. Ring of Truth is a radio ministry that comes to you from Columbia, Maryland. We invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. For those of you who aren't morning people, we also have a Sunday afternoon service at 12:30 p.m. Or you're welcome to come Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Take your pick, but please, come if you're in the area. Did you know that live stream is available for those unable to attend in person? For all of our long-distance listeners, we hope you'll utilize this tool to stay connected. Pastor Dan has been teaching from the book of Exodus, and he's not done yet. Be sure to come back again as he continues pulling nuggets from this Old Testament book. Thanks for staying tuned in today to Ring of Truth.
I see the signs and I recognize the hands that craft and am. Well, I know because I know His voice, and it only takes
General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.